Portland community, the general community, the broader community at large, and I can never repay cable for what it's done for me.
Likewise, back at you. We can never repay you for all of the service and leadership you've provided, and I just look forward to hearing you on the air and see you in the studios for a long time.
Thank you so much, Shaheed.
Thank you. It's just been a joy working with you.
Thank you.
Look forward to keep on with that.
Okay.
All right. You take care now. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you.
KBOO Portland.
My name is Ender Black. I am producer and host of the monthly youth Native American radio show Squirrel Snow. And Squirrel Snow is broadcast the fourth Friday of the month, 8 to 10 p.m. The term growing the grassroots reminds me of the idea of giving people, citizens, the opportunity to voice not only their opinions, but who they are, their beliefs, because in this way, we are able to balance out the output of media. So it's a real gift, and I'm just very blessed to be part of this community radio experience. KBOO helps grow the grassroots of the community by doing what they do best, which is providing a platform, a real platform, for people such as myself to communicate who they are, their beliefs, their ideas, their thoughts, their emotions. And this is, in my view, one of the most helpful things a nonprofit can do. And it's definitely for me what America, for the United States, is about, this freedom of speech, the freedom to communicate. Reach out. Thank you, KBOO. Remember, don't forget to go to the website, KBOO.FM/give, and support KBOO right now. Thank you.
And I realized once I opened my business that that's right, and I love the people here. I fit in here. I am rural. You know, I may have traveled the world, but I'm still rural. And again, and I like that. And that is, again, what I want the kids to know when they leave here. It's like, there's a lot right about growing up in rural Oregon.
Hello, and welcome back to Rural Roots Rising by the Rural Organizing Project. If this is your first time listening, Rural Roots Rising is a monthly radio show and podcast created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. My name is Emma Renee Derning, and I'm an organizer with the Rural Organizing Project. In today's episode, Fighting for Rural, we'll hear from Kim Schmidt, Kelsey Oliveira, and Kelly Huang of the Madras Key Club in Jefferson County. The Madras Key Club is a powerful group of high school students working to ensure that those on the margins are included and supported in Madras by celebrating their families' traditions in local parks, distributing Christmas gifts to families who can't afford them, and so much more.
My name is Kim Schmidt, and I am the Madras High School Key Club Advisor. I also serve Kiwanis, which is the parent organization to Key Club.
I first met Kim at the Black Bear Diner in Madras. I'd sat down with her to get an update on Jefferson Positive Action Group, a Rural Organizing Project member group that has worked since Trump's election to make their community safer and more welcoming for all. But then, over banana cream pie, Kim said, "Well, what I'm really excited about these days is getting to work with students at the high school." and I was immediately struck by her enthusiasm and deep respect for the young people she's building community with and organizing alongside. Since then, I have participated in a Key Club meeting, interviewed Key Clubbers back in January, and after COVID-19 disrupted life as we knew it, I caught up with them again in June. Kim told me about the first time she met the students.
I was pretty nervous. I remember, and I only found out later on, I had asked them, what do you guys, okay, we're doing community service. This is Key Club. Key Club is about community service. And I explained that most activities in the school appropriately are focused on the school, and that's the inside of the building. That Key Club was going to be about the outside of the building. It was going to be about our neighbors, all of the different community parts. And that, but if you have a strong neighborhood, if you have a strong community, your school will also flourish. That this is supposed to be a team. So I gave a little bit of talk about that. And then I said, so when you think about projects, what would you like to do? Tell me what you think would be great to do. But I also wanted to hear, they definitely are interested in the food banks. A lot of people here go hungry. So the food, community kitchen, that all came up. But mostly it was quiet for a bit. And I was like, huh, well, maybe they don't want to do things. And I found out a couple months later, Kelsey told me, she goes, we had never been asked what we want to do. We had only been told what we had to do and maybe even how to do it.
The person Kim just mentioned, Kelsey, is now one of Key Club's brilliant organizers. We'll hear from her in just a moment.
And I was like, well, that's great, because that's not how I work. Doesn't mean I don't do a lot of guiding. I do want them to, again, be successful, and there's certain things that help. But they come to me, they being the Key Clubbers, they come to me all the time with fantastic ideas, and I do my best to support them.
Oftentimes when young people start organizing, older generations don't necessarily welcome them into leadership or support them to build up their skills and vision. Madras Key Club, though, is a different story.
My name is Kelsey Oliveira. I'm 17. I'm a senior at Madras High School. I'm very involved in school. I am Lieutenant Governor for Key Club in Division 78. I am Interact Club President, and I'm also on the Jefferson County Cultural Coalition Board.
Shortly after Kim invited Kelsey and her peers to set their own priorities, Key Club submitted a grant application for their first major project. Successfully securing the funding, they spent months preparing, and then, over the summer of 2019, held three cultural events at a local park.
Last year, we did Mexico, El Salvador, and Peru. We were just basing it off of like the Latino cultures in our community, which those are like the three main ones here in Madras. So we just recognized that those three cultures needed more recognition in our community. Like, we have Mexican restaurants and Mexican stores, so why don't people learn more about that, like, if they're not super, like, informed about it? Our first cultural event was this summer in June. It was a few days after school got out. We did it in our local park on the day that they have the Saturday market. So the Saturday market took up a portion of the park, and then we had our own area with, like, our canopies. We had everything set up. We had our crafts set up. Our first event was Peru. And there was a lot more people than we expected. A lot of the parents were drawn to the food that we had. We had free samples provided by one of our Key Clubbers' mom. They were Peruvian. And I think we had about 100 people at that event, parents and kids. It was really, we had music playing, everything. It was really vibrant, and just, it was a really fun time for, like, us putting it on and the little kids. You could see, like, their eyes light up when they made, like, a new craft or something. It was really fun.
Kelly Huang is another student leader in Madras Key Club. When she's not in class, playing volleyball, or at Key Club meetings, you can usually find her working in the kitchen at Hunan Chinese Restaurant, which her parents run.
My name is Kelly. I am also a senior at Madras High School. I am 18 years old. I am involved with National Honor Society, Skills USA. I am currently the president of Key Club. I'm also a member of Interact Club. For me, I remember we just had this little corner of the park, and kids would just start coming. They would come all at once, and then they would just circle around the activities or the crafts. And they would just, every time, I think I was doing buttons, every time they came over to mine, they would show me like something they made from another booth. And I just watching them have so much fun, that was pretty nice.
Working together, the students were able to connect with one another and with the larger community to provide meaningful opportunities for celebration that hadn't existed before. Here's Kelsey again.
I think it was really fun to work with this group of people that we had with our events last year. A lot of us were from a Latino, are from a Latino background, and we all related to the events that we did quite well, and we were able to like share stories from our like childhood, like, oh, when we broke this piñata or something. Like, we were able to bond at the events, and like in the preparation of everything, we had a lot of fun working together, like making the crafts at Kim's house and stuff, and just with everybody in the club. It's always a good vibe.
Madras has a population of 6,900, sits on the edge of the Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and is surrounded by expansive pasture and agricultural lands. Madras High School students are about 20% Native American, 40% Latinx, and 40% white. But their community's diversity isn't always represented in public events, school curriculum, or local elected positions. So the students made it a priority, starting in 2018, to share and celebrate their many cultures in public spaces. At a time when the Trump administration has emboldened white-centric ideas of what rural America should look like, and in the midst of a global uprising for Black liberation, Key Club offers us one pathway toward the safe, welcoming, and multicultural communities that many of us are working towards.
I love how diverse our community is. Like, there's a lot of issues and problems that occur in my community, but there is always people who come together to solve those problems and make it more equal for everybody who lives here. And there is lots of opportunities regardless of your color, age, or where you come from here.
For me, the one thing that always I always recognize about Madras is that it is very diverse. And while there's still problems, like Kelsey said, it's just amazing how people come together in this small community just to help you out or just help other people in general.
Kim intentionally trusts the leadership of the students in tackling these problems. By supporting the skills and vision of new leaders, Rural Organizing Project, and rural organizers across our network strengthen each of our communities and truly make a better world possible. Here's Kim remembering a conversation that motivated Kelsey and her sister to take on major roles in planning the cultural events.
It was Kelsey and her sister, Erica. And they said to me, we want to have events so that if we were those two little Latina girls, we would feel like we could celebrate our culture in the middle of a park that was filled with white people and know that we were accepted and that it was exciting and speak our language. And I was like, that's fantastic. That's where the cultural events came from. It's amazing. Like Kelsey, to watch her get down on her hands and knees and look a little girl in the eye and start speaking Spanish to that little kid about what we're coloring and why and which one do you want. And I have enough Spanish to understand what's going on, but the rest of it I'm clueless on. And just to see that immediate bonding, and Kelsey becomes like Wonder Woman right then and there. And it's amazing. It's very empowering.
After their first three cultural events attracted at least 600 people, Key Club went back to the Jefferson County Cultural Coalition to apply for a second year of funding. This time, though, Kelsey sat on the board and participated in deciding which grant applications to accept. When I interviewed Key Club in January, Kelly had just heard that their application had been accepted with flying colors. This time, they were bringing activities into second grade classrooms, and Kelly was getting excited, reflecting on her own memories of childhood celebrations.
I spent 2 or 3 years after I was born in China, and then I came back, and I've been here ever since. I believe the idea for Chinese New Year's, a culture event about Chinese New Year's, came from people coming to our culture events and talking to Kim about doing one for Chinese New Year. And I think while there's not many of us Chinese people here, Chinese New Year is such a huge event that I feel like almost everybody knows about, because I know in China they would take at least 7 days off just to celebrate the event, and they would have these dragon performances, which weren't actual dragons, just people in the costume, but and then fireworks, and then just kids running around the streets throwing the little popper thingies on the ground. I think me and my sisters might have set off a car alarm once by doing that. But it's just such a big event, and just if you've ever been to China and seen the fireworks during that time, it is amazing. And just being able to bring it to our community here is just, that's going to be awesome, because the kids are going to love it to have these animals being represented by the New Year's, and just getting to like make crafts about it. I think they're going to have so much fun.
Key Club is creating public spaces in Madras that truly reflect the people who live there. And Kim knows firsthand that high schoolers can make meaningful change in her community. In fact, she chose to be Key Club's advisor because she was a part of Key Club when she was in high school, and it changed her life.
So when I was in high school, and it was, to date myself, 1983 and 84, they started a Key Club. And I didn't know what Key Club was. I didn't know it was related to Kiwanis. I just knew it was the first student organization that we were going to have that wasn't for freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, or student body. I was pretty excited about that. But this was something that was just specific for leadership and community service, things outside the school. And so we actually raised money and bought garbage cans and arranged for them to be picked up along Buff Street, which is the main street that feeds three schools, including the high school. Back then, you had open campus, so a lot of people went to the Dairy Queen or Erickson's and got lunch, and they threw the trash on the ground. And there were no trash cans. That's not, I don't think, appropriate behavior, but it's somewhat expected if you don't give people the ability to do the right thing. And so we put in trash cans, and it cleaned up the street.
One of the core principles of organizing is that the people experiencing the problem are best suited to solve it.
And that was the first time I realized you can make a difference. Being a part of the team, you can make a difference. And that shaped me. It just flat out shaped me. I think it was the first time I recognized that students were creating the trash, students were creating the problems, and students could create a solution. And again, that was pretty powerful to me.
Whether it's hosting cultural events or installing trash cans, the Madras Key Club is addressing the challenges that they are experiencing most directly and making a tangible difference. In Jefferson County, which claims the lowest per capita income of any county in Oregon, one of the main challenges that Key Clubbers are tackling as a group is poverty. Let's go back to Kelsey and Kelly.
There's a lot of poverty here, and there's like food banks and organizations like Key Club, how we did trick-or-treating for canned foods. There's also like the community kitchen here where we have like a soup kitchen, and there's also clothing drives for people that help like the youth who need clothing during the winter, and that stuff is really powerful to me.
Yeah, and one of the things being a with a lot of poverty happening around Madras, one of the things that people don't have is that they don't always get Christmas gifts. And one of the programs that Key Club does is Operation Rudolph, which helps give presents to these families that don't have a lot. And that is just amazing, because I know how it feels not to have waking up on Christmas and not having presents.
I think it's really important for everybody in our community to have the chance to enjoy the holidays with their families. It can be a really devastating time for those who don't have money, with like Thanksgiving and then Christmas being so soon after that. Like, some people don't even have enough for like dinner, and then the pressure of parents having to buy their children like gifts and provide dinner on that same night for Christmas is probably hard for a lot of people. And I think like everybody should be able to enjoy their childhood and not have to like know that their parents don't have any money. I think it's just, it's good to help the parents when they need it.
For me, just trying to take something on personally is really hard, especially like a program as big as Operation Rudolph. I know Operation Rudolph is mostly relies on Kiwanis and then Fee Club and then other clubs coming and rapping, but just having a club or a group of people you can work with just helps get everything done, and you don't have to worry about taking everything on. So you don't have to put your life on hold just to get this program finished. You can have rely on other people and then get it done, and maybe even make it better with other people's suggestions and ideas.
Key Club is brilliantly using the resources that they have access to through Kiwanis and their public school to have the largest possible impact on the community as a whole. Through this work, they're not only influencing their town and the organizations they work with, but they're also affecting one another.
Wow. Kids teach me something all the time. They surprise me all the time. They're so positive. They really believe that they can solve things. So I'm like, game on, let's solve something. They give me that optimism. They teach me all the time to work through adversity, because it's amazing some of the backgrounds that they come from, and they leave it at the door of the school. We had a kid, he's one of my most active Key Clubbers, and he's been on the food drive. He did hours of work at Operation Rudolph. And when I went to get the names for the students for Operation Rudolph from DHS, he was there. And that taught me a lot. How do you still give when maybe you don't have much to give? And he gives what he can, which is his time and his positive attitude and his enthusiasm. And so that's an example of something that they teach me.
Key Club is all about face-to-face engagement. But here we are now 5 months into a global pandemic where the whole country is trying to figure out how to return to school safely amid COVID-19. I gave them a call in June, a few months after our initial interview, to check in on how the pandemic and the related stay-at-home orders were affecting their community in particular.
We're one of the many rural counties that, because of our internet access and poverty, like my sister, her kids are in Portland at a more expensive isn't that right word? They have a lot more money in their schools. And so the kids there they do all their classes online. Even the kindergartners have classes online. And so, and yet at Madras, at Jefferson County 509J School District, every Tuesday, everyone goes in and picks up their assignments on paper. And what if you can't go? What if your family doesn't have a car? What if they're a second grader and the family isn't able to do that? So it really made that part of it as hard. And I know that if Key Club could have been meeting, we could have been solving some of those problems. That's the reality. And so it was hard to know that I couldn't use Kelsey and Kelly and their ingenuity to go and solve those problems. So it was hard.
From a lack of food and internet access to not having reliable running water, these past 5 months have been extremely difficult for communities across Jefferson County that didn't have the resources they needed even before the pandemic and related economic recession. Through it all, Key Club members continue to support each other and are figuring out how to advance their work when they can't get together in person.
So one thing that we did like towards the end of the school year was Kim like helped Kelly and I. We decided that we wanted to make like little gift bags for each member with like their Key Club certificate for the year. And we did something special for the seniors. We got them like a little bit of supplies for college, like a little shower supplies and like a little basket and just some like a little first aid kit and stuff that they might need for college. So Kelly and I personally went and we delivered them to each person's house and just left them like on their porch. And some came out and said hi, but it was just a really fun thing that we were able to do to end the year since we weren't able to do it together like as a Key Club.
We also did like a Zoom meeting for like certificates and awards, which I thought that was kind of fun, even though there was only about 10 people. But that was fun, just getting to see people.
For me, if I was a junior going into Key Club next year, I'd probably be a little bit nervous just to see how everything would like play out, or if we were going to do all of our community service projects still. But I think a big thing is that like there's a lot of community service that is needed in our community right now, with like a bunch of people struggling with like the coronavirus, like financially and just like physically. And that's like a big gap that Key Clubbers can fill in our community. And like it's just like a matter of if they would like, if we would be allowed to because of all the restrictions. But I think I'd probably be like a little bit nervous but excited, because there's a lot of work that you could do in the community right now.
Coronavirus may have put a wrench in Key Club's spring plans, but it hasn't changed Kim's commitment to her community. She is still fighting for rural and wants to make sure students not only have a voice in decision-making today, but are able to live and thrive in Madras once they finish school too.
So many kids go to college, many kids go to trade school, many kids go to work, you know, for a career. If you stay local, your options are not fantastic. There's some. We tell kids, go do this stuff. Instead of going to college, if this is a better fit, go do these things. Go get that licensing to be a plumber or to be an electrician. And they do it, and they come back here. And what? Nothing. There is no business plan to support them. And I know from starting my own business, you can come with a great education and be ready to go. You know, we have to do interning for a year. You know what you're supposed to do. But if you don't have some business sense and training, I worked in a dentist office through high school and some of college. If you don't have that, how do you actually open a business?
Kim's focus, like rural organizers across the ROP network, is on recognizing the needs in her community and finding local solutions. The challenges she faced upon returning home and starting her acupuncture business didn't stop her from ultimately falling in love with her community. But she wants to make sure that those same barriers don't block anybody else from thriving here either.
And I realized once I opened my business that that's right, and I love the people here. I fit in here. I am rural. You know, I may have traveled the world, but I'm still rural. You know, and again, and I like that. And that is, again, what I want the kids to know when they leave here. That's like, there's a lot right about growing up in rural Oregon. Most kids are going to come back even if it's to see family. And so, and many people do come back and they stay. Regardless, I want people to see Madras in our surrounding area as a place of strength, as a positive place. So whether they come back and their parents are here and they've moved on, I want them to realize that their parents live in a good community. And if they come back, they bring a different skill. They've brought a different type of diversity if they bring a different skill. And so, and I want them to be able to come back and be successful here. I was really frustrated, and I learned a lot about knocking my head against the traditional doors of business just because my business was different. That taught me so much. It really taught me a lot. And I was like, wow, I can't imagine what it would be like if I was doing this and to be a person of color. You know, bad enough that I did a kind of a scary business, and to be a woman and just be like, just shut, we didn't know. And they would say, we didn't do that. I'm like, yes, you did. You know, and again, is it different now? Absolutely. But I don't want kids, when they come back as that adult with that vision in their eyes, I want them to be successful. I absolutely want them to be successful. I believe that the whole community is successful when we get somebody back who brings something back to us and expands us. That's fantastic. And if they stay, many people stay. Many people stay in any community they grow up in. I want them to know that you stayed in a good place. You made a good decision, and or, you know, go and come back, whatever. I want it to be, I don't want people to ever feel like they have to get out of town because they're not welcome here or that they can't be successful here. One of the things I say now is that I'm fighting for rural. That's just one of my personal slogans, fighting for rural. Rural, it by itself is not good or bad. It just is. And we have a different set of needs. And community is vital to us.
You have been listening to Fighting for Rural, the 9th episode of Rural Roots Rising by the Rural Organizing Project. This monthly radio show and podcast is created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. For photos and articles highlighting Key Club's cultural events, and resources on how to start your own group, head to ruralrootsrising.org. Do you have comments, questions, or reactions to what you just heard? We want to hear from you. Contact us at info@ruralrootsrising.org. We featured music from Diana Wild, The Wildwood, and The Road Sodas. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project, a network of over 65 autonomous member groups who are committed to advancing human dignity and democracy across rural Oregon. To learn more about the Rural Organizing Project, go to rop.org. If you liked what you heard today, you can find more episodes at ruralrootsrising.org. Please follow Rural Roots Rising on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. This is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored.